now we're on Avatar 2, and this is, supposed to be the biggest show ever. And just to look back where I've been and where my family's been, and then generations of hurt and pain, all for me to be at Disney, or in or at Weta or wherever I go next. It's crazy, right? Crazy.
You're listening to the CG Spectrum Podcast. CG Spectrum College of Digital Art and Animation offers specialized career training for the film and game sector. Join our hosts, Career Development Manager Maxine Schnepp and CGS Mentor Justin Mullman, as they chat with industry experts doing cutting-edge work in film and games. Now, on to the show.
Hey, Justin. So I was just talking to Marcella Brown. She is a senior effects artist at Weta Effects, and she's also the founder of the VFX Club podcast, which I will link in the show notes. And she's worked on some amazing titles. Of course, we only bring the coolest people on this podcast, right? So she's currently working on the new Avatar, and she also worked on Encanto and Godzilla versus Kong. I know. Her effects work is amazing, and she specializes in water simulation. In this episode, we talk about Marcella's personal background, we talk about dealing with failure, burnout, we've all dealt with that, also a lack of motivation, and the value of supportive colleagues. We also talk about the interview process and how she started at Disney. She's also worked at Disney. Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense, her being working with water and then the next Avatar being the Way of Water. So it's going to be pretty fun to see.
Yeah, can't wait. Tell me a little bit more about your background, how you got to this place now as a senior effects artist. Where did you start your career?
Well, I'm from Ohio. So after I graduated high school, I went straight into the Army because, college is expensive in the States. So I didn't want to pay for it. So did 5.5 years, and then I got out in 2010 and then moved to Atlanta. And that's where I started studying. I went to the Art Institute. We studied game, and I was an environment artist for games for a while.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for like 5 years, even before I, got into visual effects. Yeah, I did that. I graduated from, from college, got my BA and whatever. And you started working like for these little local, startups. There's a lot of startups in Atlanta all the time. It had this one particularly had to be it was a augmented reality startup, and we're using Unity. And our first big project was for the Georgia Aquarium. So they had this whole, sometimes they do whole installations for aquariums and stuff like that. So this one had to be AR. So you use your app, and it was it was beautiful. Like they created these whole rooms based off different, a jungle, and then there's aquatic, and there's deep sea, different spaces. So you'll hold your phone or your tablet up to the thing, and the bird will come out, and it would be flying around. It was really cool.
Oh.
So we created all the creatures, all the environments that came to life and stuff like that back in my modeling days. It was based low res stuff, nothing special. No, something just for the kids to get excited. Yeah.
They don't know any better.
Yeah, they don't care. But the cool thing about that is behind the scenes, after they closed, we got to go back in and actually go back. We saw the whale sharks and all of the big stuff in the tanks. It was kind of sad because they were in tanks. But it was cool to see dolphins and stuff like that just up close and personal. I finished that, and the company I guess they lost a lot of money. So they laid half of us off.
Well, all these field trips to the zoo.
Yeah. All these field trips to the aquarium.
Adding
cost,
up,
I
you
guess.
Know.
That was such a fun job. And I learned so much just about detail. Because in environment artists, you have to know everything that's in the room and what's going to be in that environment and stuff like that. So you have to do a lot of studying. That opened my eye to different stuff. What you need to pay attention to, details and stuff like that. After, the company kind of cut short, that's when I moved here to LA, and I went to Noman. So that was an experience, and probably one of the hardest things I've probably ever done still.
How did you decide to go to Noman?
Well, I had previously got into Noman maybe a year or so before, but I was working still.
Oh.
So I didn't want to leave my job. I wanted to get some experience before I move out to LA. So I kept that, and then I was actually able to build some type of reel to show Noman, like, yo, this is where I was, you know, this is where I'm at now. So I got in again. I was accepted twice. But this time it was different because this time I had changed my whole like perspective and wanted to go full into effects. 2.5 years studying nothing but solvers and software and Maya, Houdini and all that stuff, real flow, all of it. And then 2017 came around and graduated. And then that's when I got my first job here at a studio. We were doing Walking Dead and the Fear of the Walking Dead because I was doing crowds back in the day. That's when I started. Okay. And then when I got my job at NPC, that's when I like fully transferred into effects and kind of took off from there to Montreal.
Crowd can be such a specialized skill. And I remember mm-hmm. when I worked in a studio, I don't know if I talked to you about it before when we met previously, but my background is more in production. So I was like a resource manager. I was a VFX producer. And those artists were so hard to find, people that were good at crowd. It was like, if we lost one, we'd be like screwed, you know? So did you find it fairly easy to actually find a job in crowd when you graduated? Was it like an easier kind of pipeline compared to some of your like other fellow grads in different departments?
I got that job because my friends, like two of my homegirls, worked there. And they were like, hey, Marcella, they need somebody to do crowds. You do crowds? I was like, yeah, I can figure it out. It turned out like crowds is fun, especially the way we were doing them because they were like zombies and they're, you know, attacking people. And it was funny just to watch, you know, them interact. And then some of them were getting blown up and then you see body parts ripping off. It was hilarious.
That's like literally what, like, as a student, you want to do. That's like what you imagine the whole industry is going to be like from start to finish. Zombies and stuff blowing up. That's so cool that you got to do that as like one of your first gigs. Because a lot of people, they start with like way more boring stuff. So that's pretty cool that you started with something like so epic like that.
Yeah, I was totally grateful because the gig was only like a month. But it gave me our first two credits. We did like a few episodes. I think it was season 7. Yeah, that was cool. Like I would totally, like if I saw her today, I would walk up to her and give her a hug because she launched my career. And then on top of that, she was so like gracious when I left. So I was like, yo, I know you need me, but NPC is calling me. They want me to do Godzilla. This is my first film. She was like, oh my God, you have to go. So yeah, like totally grateful. That was a launching pad for sure.
Do you think I'm like gonna let you eventually finish this story of like how you eventually got here? But I like that part that you said about that, like your colleague, your friend that like kind of believed in you, because so many people can be just so mean. They take it personally when you leave. They're like, you're screwing me over. Or even if they don't say it out loud, you get that feeling. I know I've had a couple managers who are supportive of me. They're like, oh, you found a better gig. Like, have fun. Like, you can always come back, you know? Right, do you think that's something that you value in, like, a company now?
Oh, do you see that kind of behavior? Because what I'm finding out about the industry is relationships matter. For her to be a woman, and she was the producer of the show, you know, she was my boss, essentially. And her to just, like, freely, like, yes, go, do that. And, you know, as in this industry, we don't get too much women like in leadership positions. And then for somebody to be so open and just ready for me to succeed and can't wait to watch, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was the vibe. Going into Montreal, I felt like secure, like, okay, I'm good. I can go do this. I'll be back. I mean, I didn't know when, you know, but I figured one day I'll be back.
Oh, okay, so now tell me about moving to Montreal. You came to Canada. I'm Canadian. You came to Canada. How I see the head shaking already. Listen, it's not for everyone.
It's not.
But it is funny, and I'm gonna like preface this because I have a lot of students from other parts of the world who are like their dream is to come to Montreal or to Canada because they know that there's all these studios here. I know, right? They're like, really? I feel that way too because I'm always trying to like, where can I go, you know? Yeah. But so I would love to hear like, yeah, like what sucks about Canada? Because yeah, people only say nice things about us and maybe it's okay if it wasn't great for you.
It wasn't that, I mean, okay, Well, okay, wait.
it wasn't.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why it was great for me. Let's just start with the positives. It was great for me just being a Black woman coming from America. There is so much pressure on us to either stay where we are or to succeed, period. And when you're under that much pressure and oppression, day in and day out, there's no room to think, you know? And especially for me, like I'm a very driven person and I have to be always on like, okay, what am I doing next? What am I gonna do next? What am I doing next? Because I feel like I have to, you know? But when I moved to Montreal, it was almost like this weight was just lifted off of me. And I was almost 4 years, I was able to discover who I was as a person, as an artist, and especially as a Black woman, who I wanted to be and what I wanted to give to the world. Because I was always taught, like, you need to give back. Like, no matter what, don't take anything, you know, for granted. It's like I said, especially being Black people, like, whenever you do give something, don't forget to give it back. You know, being in Canada allowed me the space and the time to figure that out, you know, because a lot of times we don't get that. And on top of that, like going to, you know, if people talk shit about NPC and Technicolor, and rightfully so, but at the same time, they are launching a lot of artists' careers, like a lot of shows, whether they look good or they look bad, like people are, you get an experience. So I was very grateful for my time on, what was it? Godzilla is King of Monsters. That was my first movie. Yes, that was crazy. Oh, we had 60-something people on our effects team.
Whoa! Oh my
and
God.
One show, yeah. One floor. But at the same time, like, other shows were going on. So I think in total, our biggest height was like 140 people. Like, in one department. On one floor, we had to, like, take over different, like, floors at one point.
That's huge. At the peak of
the show. At that time, it was, like, the biggest show in Montreal. And I think it was like 1,500 shots, a little bit over that. I mean, it's nothing compared to now. That's like regular. But back then, that was a lot. Especially when you have half the show is juniors. Like, that's a lot. Just keeping it real.
No, realistically, more than half, right?
Yeah.
There is like a percentage. I don't know the exact numbers, but like working as a resource manager, like they actually had like ratios and stuff all worked out at like the Technicolor companies.
Man, yeah, that show was crazy. That show was crazy. But yeah, I did a lot of, you know, junior shit, like rain and clouds and fire placements. So like I wasn't even the one that created the fire. Sometimes you just get a cast and you place it in the scene. That was a great learning lesson. Like, it took us, 9 months to finish that?
So Godzilla, King of Monsters. I think you also worked on Dumbo while you were there.
Oh, that's still my favorite show. The team was much smaller. It was like 15 effects artists. But it meant something special because we were all like, the team was small. So we would do things more together. You know, we were able to communicate better. The process of helping each other was better. You know, we don't have a huge team. But yeah, I love that show. I still love that show. And that was the first time I did fire, like on my own. Like, you know, at the end of the movie where it was falling apart. I don't know if you saw it, but there's like fire just falling. The tent.
Yeah. The whole circus is like, being destroyed.
On my last day, NPC hooked me up. He was like, look, I'm going to give you the shot. I'm supposed to do it, but I don't want to do it. I then figured out why he didn't want to do it because it was a pain in the ass. But I did it.
But it gave you that chance, right? It's like someone's trash is another person's treasure. And if, you know, I'm sure you learned a lot on that, right?
Yeah. Learned a lot just about how fast I can work also. Because I had to turn that around in like 2 weeks, you know?
Oh, my God.
And it was, I think it was like 3 or 4 of them. Like back to back, you know, some were closer, some was like a wider fall. But yeah, that was a great experience for me. It totally redeemed the first show. I'll say that much.
Yeah, it made you like happy to still be there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You need that. Work is still work at the end of the day. It's like people are really excited to be in the industry, and I think we're all very like fortunate and lucky to work on these like cool movies and stuff, but it's still a job, you know? It's still like you still have to like wake up every day days that you probably don't want to, and especially before COVID, like actually like going into this office, commuting
in the snow.
Oh my god, yeah, you're not used to that. I mean, Ohio has snow, but
not like this.
Not like that. Yeah, I was gonna say like not like that. Like it's like up to here and
another level.
So snow was one of the cons.
It was, you know, it's not a con until it gets dirty.
That's true. It's nice when it's falling. You're like, wow, it's beautiful. But it's very quick. It very quickly turns to dirt in the city.
Quickly.
Hey, everyone. A quick shout out to CG Spectrum for helping make this podcast happen.
CG Spectrum is an online animation, VFX, digital painting, and game development school that prepares you for a career in film and games. Whether you're just starting out or you're upgrading your skills, get personalized career training and mentorship from industry pros who have worked on blockbuster films and best-selling games. Courses are 100% online, and you can choose from one-on-one private mentorship options or group classes with just 4 students max. You'll also get access to career support services and join an awesome community full of like-minded creatives just like you. Learn more at cgspectrum.com. We're bringing the industry to you.
Tell me more about Montreal. What happened after MPC? Did you work anywhere else?
There was a bit of a a bit of a transition in between MPC and Scanlon. Like it didn't go from, you know, okay. It went from okay to horrible to great. Like, so that bottom part was like a 4th month. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a waste of time. The company closed down, right? And then they forgot to... No. Okay. That's not even giving that much dignity. They didn't pay us on purpose.
Oh.
Everything was cool up until, like, that January 1st check. And then it was late. I was like, huh. And they sent the email. Like, oh, sorry. We forgot to do the payroll, whatever. I'm like, all right. And then they paid us. And they gave us, like, an extra $500 on top of that. So I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe it was a mistake. And then a month later, it happened again, and everybody started like, and then people started to quit and then like leave. And we started getting weird emails. And then the owner showed up like, oh, I'm buying a house here. I'm going to be based here. I'm going to, you know, take care of operations. Like, the owner? All right. But then we get called in, and then half of us get laid off. And that's when you know.
And this was this is a whole other place, not MPC, you said. This is like another place in between.
Yeah, it was like down right, literally right around the corner from MPC. We didn't even get our last paycheck. Yeah, we didn't get our last paycheck until like the government had to get involved and make them pay. It was so weird. It was so wrong. Like they let us know that it was our last day on my day off. I was at the movies.
No.
So I had to come and then get all of my stuff because they were like, yo, this is the last day. If you leave anything here, you're not going to get anything back. You know, like it was like immediate.
Jesus.
They just shut everything down, didn't pay us, disappeared.
That's so scary. And it's not like, you know, anyone's making millions and that like you're good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you miss one paycheck, like you can't eat or pay rent. Like it's,
yeah,
you know,
I was getting
this
nervous.
It's a cool industry, but we're like, no one here is making millions.
Yeah, and then on top of that, my work permit is based on like my employer. So if I don't have a job, I technically can't stay, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to hurry up. Within my last month, I started interviewing. I interviewed with The Mill, I interviewed with Scanline, I think some other place. It might have been DNEG. Scanline hired me. So I was like, yo, that's always been my dream. That was like VFX, get to Scanline, retire. That was going to be it for me. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I wanted that to happen. That was my plan, you know? Like, I'm just going to chill in Montreal, stay here forever, you know, make all these cool movies. Because, you know, Scanline, they get really good work. So it was, like, definitely a dream come true for me to be over there. I think every effects artist should make a pass through Scanline. They really let us, like, explode over there. Like, you know? So... it was real fun. You get to do some cool shots. Like, that's, my reels look like they are because that's the type of work we were getting. I hope people don't think I'm trying to like boast. That's just those shots that you get.
No, it's a big deal because if you don't get a chance to actually like show what you're capable of, especially like find the time, like for a lot of people who finally get a job in the industry, no one really tells you how hard it is to get like a reel to move up. you know, exactly. Or like try and get a job at another place, especially if you're not, you don't want to tell your current place that you're looking, you know, like to get that content and stuff like that. It can be tricky.
One thing about Scandal is like whenever the movie came out and then, you know, I guess you had to wait till it goes to DVD or streaming, you were able to get your shots right away. Honestly, that's the reel, the midway reel that I have is the one that I showed Disney. So that's what kind of like sparked their interest. And then that was a whole process of getting into there, you know? So like I said, everywhere I go, I'm totally grateful. It's definitely like, I keep like getting trained and stepping up. People keep believing in me. So that was pretty great.
Well, I'm happy you still had a good time here, but pandemic,
yeah.
Winter, the snow, you finally decided to move back home. So what was that like? Did you have a job lined up before you moved, or did you like take a risk and just like go?
Oh no,
without
I don't take risk.
I love that. I love that.
Don't fuck around. So I want to say June 2020. Like I'm, you know, in the middle of my contract in with Scanline. And I meet these group of people, these group of Black people. I didn't even know they existed. They're like powerful people in Hollywood. So I got introduced through, his name is Andrew Roberts. He worked at Scanline. He was over lighting. So once me and him develop a relationship, and he was a part of this group, I had no idea. So he was like, yo, you should meet this person, this person, this person, this person. I'm like, okay. So I had him on the podcast. He was like, you should go talk to Lyndon. So I had Lyndon, but then I met Lyndon and then Audria and everybody, basically all these Black powerhouses in this one specific group. And they basically brought me home, like literally, because meeting them like introduced me to Marlon West. And Marlon West was the I guess one of the HODs in effects at Disney, like which he's now like the VFX guy over there at Disney now. Like he's like the head of he's the shit. So, yeah, like I can't like say that I just came back and just got a job at Disney. Ooh. Like, no, I had to like basically interview my way through like five people, meet these people, cultivate relationships, work with them. You know, you just meet somebody, it's like, whoa, I just want to learn from you. Like, that's how it was all of 2020. So around October, when I had applied to the apprenticeship, that's when I had like my first talk with Marlon. Super nervous. Like I'm in this like same thing we're doing now. He's just talking to me like we're, you know, throwing experience back off of each other. Obviously he's been in animation for like 25 plus years. So I'm just like in awe that I'm even in this call with this guy. And yeah, that changed my life. From there, like he was like, all right, cool. Just apply and we'll see what happens. So here's some honest truth. I applied, didn't get the job. Like, I was so hurt. Like I was in this, you know, crying in the shower hurt.
Yeah.
Like it was ugly. It was like, I thought my life was over. I was like, fuck it. I'm staying in Canada forever. So that was my, you know, childhood dream. If they didn't want me, I was like, well, nobody's going to want me. Like, I really thought like, damn, do I suck? And I really started like questioning my like ability.
Well, especially because you had those conversations too. Like you're talking to Marlon, like, oh, you're like, this guy's like, got me. Yeah.
He got my back. Like, no. After I stopped crying for a few days, I was, you know, I messaged him, you know, as in just, hey, thanks. It was great to meet you. Looks like I'm not what the department is looking for, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I really appreciate the time. And you know, I really did. So I sent him that email. He emails me back like a couple of days later. Oh, no, it's not that. You're just overqualified for that position. What you need to do is apply again in like February because we're hiring for April and then you should be straight. He said, yeah, we would rather have you as like a regular artist.
Like an actual artist.
Actual artist other than an apprentice. I was like, oh, shit. He was like, yeah, a lot of people liked your reel. They liked your work. I told him about you. So just make sure you apply. When that position opens up, I was like, yo, I'm going home. Like,
yeah,
this off of his word, like it was no guarantees, nothing. This off of his word saying apply. I was like, yo, I'm out. Like I have to leave because I at least have to be there in the States just to like tell them I have like a state's address, you know? So I moved back to Ohio and then applied, you know? So
I was going to ask you too, like when you said apprenticeship, in my head, I was like, but you've already worked on Dumbo and Godzilla and stuff.
I was just trying to get in.
Yeah.
Like, I'll bring you your coffee. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, that's where I was with it. Luckily, I guess they believed in me more than I thought they did. And I went home for a few months. I applied and just waited because that's what you do in animation, I guess. Visual effects is, you get an answer way quicker. But yeah, I waited for like 2 months just for them to be like, yes, you get an interview. So that was a lot of stress just sitting around waiting, not working. You know, so
one of the longest breaks probably you ever have or ever will have.
Ever. Yeah, so I took 3 months off, but I needed it, you know, coming from Canada and being locked down by yourself.
It was really bad in Canada and Montreal. They had curfews too.
Yes.
Like you couldn't even be outside after, what was it, 9 o'clock or?
Yeah, it was like, 10? Like 8 or 9. Yeah. Yeah. It was just a lot of loneliness because at the time I was still working, but when you're working, you sleep, eat, work, because you have nothing to do. We got to go outside, take a walk. Like, and I was smoking a lot of weed and it just filled myself spiraling. Like, because that was my routine.
Yeah.
And that's nothing I would do. And you know what I'm saying? When you're by yourself, that's not healthy. I was just so happy to be home and with my family. Even though I wasn't working, it just felt real good just to take a break.
And like the social interaction too, like that's one thing I think so many artists out there, especially the older ones, like people who have kids, I totally get it. They're like, I never want to go back to the studio. You know, they're like, I can do it from home. It's great. I love working from home right now. Yeah. But when you work for so many years in this kind of studio, you don't realize how much of your social interactions are from work. And as much as you want to have a life outside of it, when you're working OT and you're on some shows and it's crunch time, you don't have another social life outside of that. But it's hard. You don't realize how much of that social aspect of your life you get from work. And when it's taken away, it's like so quickly too. So I don't blame you for leaving. And it sounds like you left for the perfect role. Tell me more about the process of like, how does one get into Disney? This is crazy.
I honestly, just from my experience, and I have to like give props where props are due. I probably would not have been there if it wasn't for Black people uplifting me and making sure I was taken care of. It's not like my work sucked, but sometimes you just have to be in the right place at the right time, or you have to meet that one person that's going to push you into purpose. It's one thing to have an amazing reel, but if nobody sees it, you know, and nobody knows who you are and your passions and your purpose that you have in your work, nobody's going to feel you. I don't know how to tell people how to get into Disney outside of make sure your reel looks good, but that it's more than that. We didn't talk about anything technical in my interview. It was all literally just like this. They wanted to know me. It was a vibe. Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, oh, what can you do in Houdini? Like, no. It was, who are you and what can you bring to the table and add to our team? Basically. Like, so I was just very grateful that they liked me, I guess. You know, I don't know how else to say that, you know. And they got accepted and started in April in Encanto, and that was probably one of the most special projects I've ever worked on, for sure.
Tell me more about that project. What were some of the sims that you worked on, or like what were the most common things that you worked on?
My background is a lot. I do a lot of volumes, as most people know. So it was like I did a lot of fire, like the candles, like in the movie, like the candles like Abuela was holding at the beginning when she opened her eyes. So we did those. I did those candles, and then also did the house on fire at the end of Dos Orejitas. I got blessed with that in my last like 2 weeks. But in between, it was like I also did stuff I've never done before. Like I did sand. in the movie for the first time. A lot of little cool stuff. Also, there's like the destruction in the road, that crack that came down. That was really cool at the end of the movie. So yeah, here and there it was like a touch of, okay, try this, try that. You know what I'm saying? And any other studio never really made me like step outside of my boundaries like that. Not to say that it was super hard, but it was just something new, you know? So I appreciated it for that.
So we talked about Disney, but now you're not even at Disney anymore.
I mean, they're still a client.
Okay. I guess they kind of work together, right?
Yeah, Disney is everywhere. Yeah. Now I work for Weta. You know, some studios you just appreciate from afar. Yeah. Like ILM,
that's how I still feel about Weta.
Yeah, and Weta is like, oh, okay, yeah, they're doing some dope stuff, but I'm not gonna apply. Because they're not gonna, like, who am I? Even after, this is like during we're making a cancel, I'm still, you know, like, nah, they're not gonna, I'm not that good yet, you know? Here's the thing. This is what relationships are everything. I keep saying that. So Erin Ramos, she's head of effects, and she was one of the heads over there in Encanto. Me and her, we go out to lunch one day, and she's telling me about everything that she's done. We're sitting there eating ramen and fried chicken, and and we're just like bouncing ideas off of each other and experience. She's been through obviously 10 times as much as I am. And she was like, yeah, I was at Weta. I was like, oh, you're at Weta. I didn't tell her I applied, but she was like, yeah, what is this and what is that? You know, good and the bad. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, yeah, if you ever get a chance to go over there, you should go over there. The team is real smart, blah, blah, blah. So I still didn't tell her I applied. Because I didn't want to be those people like, yo, can I use your name on the resume? I mean, on the application. But I was like, I'm going to just apply because they were looking for people. And that's when I met Brittany on LinkedIn. And I was, because she had posted like, yeah, I'm here. You know, I'm Brittany too.
And... oh, yeah. And I love her for that because she knows how important it is. To like get out there. Yeah. Someone's got to do it. No one else is going to do that
Somebody
for you.
Somebody got to do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was like, I don't want to be like her. So I hit her. I was like, hey, congratulations. You know, you're at Weta. And she's like, yeah, we're on Avatar. I'm going to be doing this and doing that. Because she was coming back from Montreal too, I think. I was like, cool, I'm going to apply. How was your experience? What did you know, dealing with New Zealand people and the time? And we discussed a few things. So I applied. No, she told me who the recruiter was. And so I hit them and told them I applied. They're like, oh, cool. So they kind of fast-tracked me. And then I had like an interview with them like the next week. And this is great. I have to say this. I've never had a Black man in charge of an effects department. And he's at Weta. His name is Jonathan Nixon. Amazing artist. So yeah, he was in my interview along with Catherine. I think she's like the artist manager. Yeah. And then that was the shortest interview I've ever had in my life. It was like 15 minutes. And it wasn't even me selling my stuff to them. They wanted to know if I wanted to work on Avatar. I was like, hell yeah. Like, who's going to say no to that? That's why I applied. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yes. You know? To maybe work on something like that, you know, like.
Maybe. I mean, I would have took anything because, you know, just like Scanline, Weta has amazing shows. And then plus they have like the whole Lord of the Rings thing and apes and all this type of stuff. So they have like specific shows that they only do. And Avatar was one of them, but I didn't know they were the only ones on Avatar. Because, you know, sometimes ILM and Scanline, they all share shows, but this is like a closed box, this show is. Yeah, so that happened. And yeah, I already had the job before I left Disney.
Wow.
In September. And then the following Monday, basically, I started. I should have took some time off, but...
Sometimes there's no time for that. That's why you took those 3 months off, like, before.
Exactly.
That's your compounded vacation. Maybe in, like, another five years, you could take another, like, vacation.
Man, that's how it feels like. That's how it feels like right now. Like, I don't have a break for a while. Oh, well.
Yeah. I hope you get a break sometime. Because it is important to rest.
Yeah.
You don't want to get burnt out. Have you ever dealt with like really bad burnout?
I burn out all the time. Like I would say like every other like 3 months I burn out and I just have to find, but I have ways now. I know what triggers me back into like the zone, you know. My favorite movie to watch when I'm burnt out is Hidden Figures and Moana. And then if I watch those like five times each, I usually
that's like a formula. Yeah. An inspirational recipe. Oh, I've never thought of it that way. Cause I mean, you hear about a lot of those like classic burnout symptoms and like things you do, to, like go for a walk, mm-hmm. like talk to a friend, like sleep, yeah. eat better and stuff. Yeah. But that doesn't always do the trick. That might help the physical symptoms, but not necessarily the yeah. mental aspect of like, the fuck am I doing here? You know, sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. I felt that way at least. not to put that in your mouth, but like.
No. You're right though, because it like I said, it reminds me of why I'm doing that and what my goals are. Even yeah. though I know I won't be able to work on the Moana series because that's being done in Vancouver, which sucks. It hurts my feelings, but it is what it is. Watching that movie reminds me of where I need to be. You know, like. Visually, because that movie is beautiful. There's not one shot in that movie that's not great. And then Hidden Figures is just a motivational, this Black woman, like, you can do this. Like, and sometimes you need that, especially on these long ass shows that I'm on right now. But and all these hours. But at the end of the day, I can do this. I will do this. And it's gonna be great whenever it comes out. You know, also though, just to add one more thing, just personally for me and other veterans that have joined the Army, like we could be at war. Like, not to bring the comedy down, but just the comparison, like in 2007 I was in Iraq. Huh. Okay. We've come a long way. Like, you have to remember where you could be and what happened, you know what I'm saying? And just think about, like, all right, shit could be a lot worse. It really could. I mean, we're making
art right now.
Right now, dying every day.
Yeah, you never know what could happen. Like, we're so blessed to work in this place, you know. But do you think some of that work ethic comes from your background? Like, do you find that
totally. It, being in the Army and being from the family that I come from, like, my mother, she just told me this last year when I came back from Montreal. Forgot where I was. We had to sit down. This is like right after I found out that I was gonna, you know, I had to move to California to work at Disney. She had sat me down and she was in tears and she was so happy. And she was like, Marcella, this is crazy because, you know, I always wanted the best for my kids and blah, blah, blah. And then I asked her, I said, how was it like when you was a kid? Because my mom's Mississippi. And her dad is a sharecropper. So my family has, like, just some fucked up history just being in Mississippi. I don't know if you ever heard about Mississippi. It's like the horrible place to live if you're a colored person.
And
so she told me when she was, like, 8 years old that she used to chop cotton. I said, you worked in the field? She was like, yeah, we all did. I was like, I mean, I knew that my grandfather, you know, used to work on a plantation down there on a cotton plantation. And I knew that my ancestors were slaves and all that stuff, but I didn't know that she was chopped cotton. And then for me, that's my mom. That's not my great great grandmother. It's like, that's my mom. And that's when I got on the phone. I called my grandma, and she's from Mississippi too. So that's a subset of a generation. And she was telling me all this stuff about Emmett Till and when all that happened. She was down there at the same time. And I was like, oh shit, this is deep. I have to go to Disney. Like,
yeah.
You know, it just puts everything in perspective. Like, I have to win not only just for myself, but for my family. And then now we're on Avatar 2, and this is, you know, supposed to be the biggest show ever. And just to look back where I've been and where my family's been, and then generations of hurt and pain, all for me to be at Disney, you know, or in or at Weta or wherever I go next.
Yeah,
it's crazy, right? Crazy.
It's so crazy. And I mean,
I've never told anybody that before, by the way.
Thank you. I mean, and you know, you didn't have to, but other people are gonna hear that and like know that they can make it too. And like,
I hope
that's
so.
That's like, that's all it is at the end of the day. If you can make like one person feel like they belong, because I think that's the problem. And like, you just highlighted it. It's the same as, you know, other people I've talked to, like other Black artists. It's not just about what they're capable of, but it's the fact that like your parents, you know, your mom and her mom, it's like, they weren't even allowed to go to school. You know, like they had no choice but to work. Right. Like, it wasn't like, oh, where am I going to go work? Or what studio do I want to do? Or which one's my dream job? It was like, no, that concept wasn't even allowed to be in their heads.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly. They were just trying to survive.
So, just trying to like, it was like work was not like something that you had a choice in or that you had any control over, you know, but like you're controlling this now, which is so special. Like, I know that they're proud of you and I know that like your ancestors would be too. I'm proud of you. But it doesn't make it any less fucking hard. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, and it sucks to have, or I imagine it sucks that much more to have that burden. You can't just be an artist. Like,
exactly. Like, I wish, like I think about that too. Like, I wish I could just wake up and just be an artist and not have this. I won't call it pressure, but it is like to.
It is pressure.
Not only to succeed, because it would be real easy for people to write me off if I failed.
Yeah.
You know, it would be real easy for me to like be the stereotypical Black girl and have an attitude and be out here going crazy. But the fact that I'm just trying to rep for my people and my culture and try to make the most beautiful images that I possibly can. That's all I want to do, and tell stories, you know? Yeah. So that's my job. Like, I don't have to work on a plantation. Like, I'm not poor anymore. Like, we grew up, we're super poor. Like, that's not even a thought. Like, you know,
yeah,
like we had burnt fish tacos and then I walked away from it. Like, you know, like and I went somewhere else that, you know, I had Nobu that same night. Like, money is not an issue anymore. And the fact that just to turn around and it used to be just a few years ago, it used to be
not that long ago. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
not at all. So yeah, everything is a blessing. Everything is meant to be. I really feel that way. And who knows what's going to happen next? I mean, I have plans, but who knows what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's going to be on to bigger and better things. So before we wrap up, where can we find you? Tell us where we can find you.
I guess if you're looking career-wise, you can find me on LinkedIn. But I guess via the VFX Club, on Facebook. Also, the website is thevfxclub.com.
People can listen to the VFX Club podcast and hear from other amazing professionals in the industry about how they got into it. And the sixth season, is it in progress? Have you started or not yet?
I started asking people. And I'm, you know, so I kind of know who I want to talk to or who I'm going to talk to, but it's all about doing, you know, sitting down and scheduling, because my hours are just, they keep going up.
It's in the works. Everyone can look forward to it when Marcella actually has the time to do it. Because she's busy.
Yeah.
She's busy.
Sorry.
But thank you so much. Thank you really, Marcella. It was a pleasure. And we'll chat soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the CG Spectrum podcast. For more on this episode, visit us at cgspectrum.com/podcast. Check out our show notes, where you'll find links to our guests and more behind the scenes. And if you're enjoying the show, please like, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening, or share this episode with someone who might like it. See you next time.